Well, how many of you have your Bibles? I'll never forget. This one minister went to a church and said, okay, everybody, hold your Bibles up. And nobody held their Bible up, and they were looking at each other. And it dawned on them that the church was not very Bible-centered. So he figured, well, that's mistake one I've made while I'm here. Praise God. Well, if you do have your Bibles, I guess the best place to go would be Luke chapter 6. Now, do a little recap. We've been studying. We've been studying Mark chapter 4. And we'd come to the conclusion, and I gave the illustration of the cup last Sunday. How many of you remember the illustration of the cup? I had one cup this tall and another cup this tall. And it said, according to the measure of our hearing is what's measured back to us. And so if a person is hearing the word of God with a smaller measure, and another one's hearing it with a greater measure, then that's the measure that will be measured back to you. That's the capacity that you have for the kingdom of God. And then I pulled outside of the inner cup the measure that was not there to equal the same cup. And that's the measure that Satan comes through in our life to deceive us and to destroy us, is the measure that we have not heard the word of God with. Or we could say the measure that we did not give to ourselves from the kingdom of God. That is the measure that Satan takes, capitalizes on. That's the part that he'll come through to deceive us. So all of us are capable of being deceived. There isn't one of us in this building that cannot be deceived. Every one of us can be deceived. I thought that I had arrived to enough of the revelation of the word that I could not be deceived. But I found out that's not necessarily true. Matter of fact, before we look at Luke 6, go over to Galatians chapter 6. Let's go there first. That would be the best place to go. Galatians chapter 6. Now, me as a pastor, fellowshipping with the Lord, the more you fellowship with Him, boy, 1 John. I want to see the hands of those of you that have heard the book of 1 John and how it really challenged you at first, but it changed your way of thinking and changed your life. Yes, and I'm telling you, it changed my whole way of thinking, simply because it gave a theme that I had never seen before. And that is how our fellowship, not our relationship, our fellowship can be made more complete with joy according to the Holy Spirit's ability to work in our heart to remove darkness between me and my brother so that our fellowship can come together more perfect. How many of you are following what I'm saying? There, I said that word again. How many of you are following what I'm saying? I know you're following what I'm saying. Forgive me. I'm working on that. But in Galatians chapter 6, Paul was referring to, one of the earlier books that were written, and Paul was approaching the province of Galatia because they had a problem, and the problem was division was highly in the church, highly running rampant in the church, and Paul had to deal with them about the difference between following Christ after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so when you get to chapter number 6, verse 1, let's read. This is very interesting. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault or in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of actually meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, notice what he goes on to say. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. This is a powerful, powerful verses. I didn't understand these verses till I began to see the book of 1 John. And it put a different light on these verses. First of all, the word here, overtaken in any trespass, this literally means it suggests a deceitfulness of sin in a person's life that is causing him to stumble and he's not aware of it. He's not aware that he's doing anything wrong. He's not familiar with the fact that he's missing the mark. Now, I know that disqualifies all of us because we're perfect here. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? When I saw 1 John the way it really is, this is what caught my attention. Considering yourself. It's very interesting. When you fellowship with the Lord, He doesn't vindicate you. He doesn't do that. What He does is He deals directly with removing darkness in you. But He ain't in the business of vindicating. If He's going to vindicate you, He'll do that on His own without your help. In case any of us haven't figured that out by now. But follow me real close. He said, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Meaning that in every one of us, there is a place of ignorance or a place that the Word of God has not filled up yet because we haven't received it from God, hadn't heard it in its completeness, and that's where Satan will come through, and every one of us have that measure in us. I don't care who you are, there is a measure in you that you do not know the completeness of the Word of God yet. Now, I'm not preaching or prophesying doom and gloom on you, I'm just dealing with facts. That's why he says that you need to bear another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, because if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, meaning there's an area in you also that you can be tempted in. Yes. Mr. Judge. Yep. Uh-oh. Every one of us are capable of missing the mark. I do it every time, man. When I do, I get on my knee. God, I went and did it again. Now, that's why he said that if you think you're something when you're nothing, he's literally saying none of us have arrived yet. People are going to make mistakes. I don't care who it is, we're all going to make mistakes. Now, he said here that restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. You also have the same ability to be deceived, to fall into sin or missing the mark. This here is harmatia, which means the area from which single acts of sin come from. It means harmatia, a missing of the mark. And harmatia is not a single act of sin. Scripture defines single acts of sin. But harmatia means the groundwork through which single acts of sin come out of. And so really, when people miss the mark many times, it's because, not because they deliberately want to transgress, it's because they don't know they are transgressing. That's why you need to look, first of all, at how you can restore such a one. Now, we were talking Wednesday night on prayer and praying in the Holy Ghost and how important it is to pray in the Spirit beyond your understanding in order to recapture some other people's lives. Because it's important to go after them. People who judge are the ones that never pray for the brethren. They don't pray for the brethren, they judge them. They don't pray for them, they judge them. Because they make mistakes and miss the mark. And this is what's sad, because I did the same thing. Somebody came out and said, would you pray for me? And I said, yes, I never prayed for him. Finally, one day God says, don't you say yes and never pray for him. You pray for him right there. Because you're lying to him. You know, as a pastor, it's very interesting. I have an advantage that none of you have. You see, I know you, maybe not by name, but I know you by face. And many times your faces have come up before me in prayer. And many times I didn't understand what it was, but I prayed for you. And then I got good results back. Wow. That's cool. When your heart is open for people, rather than judge them, look for an avenue through where they can come out of their darkness into His marvelous light. That is more important than anything else. Religious people are real quick to judge and later on say, oops, I should have prayed. But people who have the heart of the Father look for an area to pray for people where they're missing the mark and go to that area, and many times we can retrieve them because they're still capable of hearing God. They might not be capable of hearing you, but they're capable of hearing God in you. Praise God. And so he says here, when anyone takes himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So when people miss the mark, it's because they're not bearing their own load. Hello? They're not doing what is necessary to keep from falling into a sin. Are you following me? And so it's going to take us to help gird up that area, because we know what it's like within our own heart that we also could miss the mark. Hello. Church history has made us religious in judging people, and it's sad. It is very sad. So what we're going to do is, we've been talking about Mark 4, how Satan comes through the avenue of which we have not heard the Word of God correctly in. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, it's very interesting because verse 13 says, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve." Then it says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Which tells me something that's very interesting here. The word deceived means to seduce into error. Now, do you think that Eve, in her thinking, was, oh, this is the devil, and he's given me some good insight here. Now, maybe God is wrong. Maybe you do have some good information, devil. No, she didn't think that way. She took her a defense against him according to what she did know. And so Satan came back and says, "Hath God said?" You see, she was the one that had an area in her that was not clear. She had that measure that she did not hear with. Are you following me? Was not clear. So Satan was coming through that very measure. Say. And whose fault was it? Well, if it hadn't been for that woman in Apple. No, ladies, don't let them guys con you into that thing. Let's blame it on the man. Stay in your seat, men. I don't want to fight you all off. But actually, it says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman was. And she's the one that fell into the wrongdoing. It says transgression, wrongdoings, a fault, a mistake, an error. And sure, right away God approached Adam and asked him, how did this happen? You know what Adam said? It's all my fault. It's all mine. I want you to, oh God, it's all my fault. No, he said, the woman whom you gave me. It's that woman whom you gave me. I got news for you. Satan's been around a lot longer than any of us in this building. He's sharp. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation 12:10, it says Satan is called the accuser of our brethren. And in Romans 11:32 and 33, it says, we cannot understand the judgments of God. What we do is we join with Satan against our own brethren. If he can sneak in there
and do that same thing. Look at what they did. Look at what he's doing and she's doing.
And all it boils down to is what they don't have lit up in their own heart. And that's where Satan comes in. And we don't look at him as our culprit. We look at the people who miss the mark as our problem. And they aren't. With that said, now turn to Luke chapter 6. Thank God for 1 John, because I would have never understood some of these areas that we're going to. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus says something that's very interesting. In verse 27, But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Oh, that was never heard of before until Jesus came on the scene. Matter of fact, the Sermon on the Mount is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. Did you guys know that? The Sermon on the Mount is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. Just like our constitution. Now I'm understanding they want to do away with our constitution. When they do away with our constitution, we are no longer one nation under God. You've got to adhere to the Constitution that our forefathers had laid for us. He says here, but I say, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, but love, verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Here's another one. Given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Uh-oh, the measure again. We're going back to a measure. A measure. Now, in verse 38, so the verse I quoted. See, many of us use this for money, but what he's talking about is what you pour into others is what will be measured back to you. Basically is what he's saying. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not receive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrites, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. When you're a pastor and you deal with a lot of people who make a lot of mistakes, I'm going to be the first to admit, people, I'm just going to tell you right out, I judged you when I should not have judged you. You know how I found that out? Getting in my prayer closet and talking to God. You know, God never has vindicated me against any one of you in this church. God always came back and said, me, moi. Three me's, me, myself, and I. We'd always been the problem. God has always removed you from me so he can straighten me out, not you. Every time. Now, this argument that I always had with God was, Father, you called me to be the under-shepherd of this congregation, this church. And I have a right to judge with cause because you said it. I have a cause. Is that a little tongue talker or a baby? And so, I said, Father, now it says in your word that there should be a cause. I'm going to tell you something. Never quote the Word of God back to God. Because He knows it better than you do. He said, well, Mr. Greek Gleek. He says, why don't you go there in the Greek? Gleek. And read it from the Greek. And so, if you will, turn to Matthew. Chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's go to verse 22. But But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. So I went over to the Greek and I read it out of the Greek. And I was shocked. It's worded a little differently. And I'll read it to you. Does anybody here have an interlinear? But I tell you that everyone being angry with his brother, angry with his brother, of him shall be liable to the judgment. I'm looking for a cause here. It's funny, you know, as long as that word cause was in there, I could always find a cause. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can always find a cause. Cause. Well, the one who missed the mark, all of a sudden, is cuz. And I'm not saying cousin. They become a cause. 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 Oh, cause they needed judgment. Cause they needed this. Cause they needed that. Because it was not without cause. You guys got a cause to disagree with me? Well, your translator put cause in there. But it ain't in there. I always wondered, you know, God, I was happy until you had to show me this. Because I was always cause free. How many of you always had a cause to justify your position with your brother or sister? Cause they. Well, you know what? When you cause they, you enter into agreeing with our adversary. Because he's the accuser of the brethren. I find I got to avoid that area in order to even help him. Now watch this. And whoever says to the brother of him, Raca, shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, fool, shall be liable to the Gehenna of fire. Pretty interesting. Especially when you go and read on down. Here he goes. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way first and be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Boy, you know something? You can't buy God with your good works. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Oh my gosh. You know what he just did? In this verse, he explained out what you were in danger of in verse 22 when you cannot forgive somebody for their mistakes or where they missed the mark. Do you know that everyone you cannot forgive for their error, you have automatically qualified yourself for not being able to pray for them? And somebody says, well, I know how they are. I will pray for them. No, you won't, because God won't hear your prayer. It's a prayer of what? Respecter of persons. It's a prayer. You have to know one thing. Love never falls. Love maintains its place no matter what. Over people, over you. There is no cause for love failing in the kingdom of God. Now watch this. Now, if you feel I'm preaching to you, you're right. I'm preaching to all of us. I had to learn this same principle And it hurts sometimes because you want to so justify yourself with stupidity of some people. But you can't go there. You got to let people go. And pray for them and believe the best for them. They make their own choices. You can't do anything about it. But notice what he says here, agree. I asked the Lord one time, why did they use the word agree? And because sometimes you ask yourself why the translators use certain words. Agree with your adversary while you are in the way with him, while you're on the way with him. Did you know that sometimes your own brother, whether you realize it or not, John Cook, whether you realize it or not, if you have aught against me, guess what? That does not mean that John Cook and I are not responsible for each other. That's why it says in the Greek there, it says while you're on your way with them, with him, with who? With your adversary. While you're on the way with him. Well, how do you know it's my brother? Because he talks here about being angry with a brother. Being angry with a brother. Now get what I'm saying, because the Lord told me that if the church does not get a hold of this, many people have gone home to be with the Lord before their time because God could not rescue them. Their heart was not right with their brethren. I won't say the minister's name, but I had heard the story and I couldn't believe it. But we had a regional director. And on the surface, when you met him, oh my gosh, you love that man. But him and his wife were always off alone a lot. Never got to really know them much. And he had a going ministry. And he went to sign on a loan for an $8 million facility because the church was exploding. And on the way to the bank to sign the signature for the approved loan, he had a heart attack and died. And that puzzled me because I knew this man of God was in a very critical stage of his ministry, his life. And how could the adversary take him out? Well, during the funeral service, everybody said the secret things belong to God. But I forgot, I don't know how long ago after, but I was talking with another minister on the phone. And we were talking away, and I went back to this minister and said, boy, that really shocked me in the conversation. And he says, well, did you know the history of this minister? And I said, well, not really. I every time I communicated with him, he's a man of God, and boy, he was moving with God. He says, but he had a problem with forgiveness. I said, what do you mean he had a problem with forgiveness? Well, he threw his brother and his own parents out of the church. Said they couldn't come back to fellowship. Because they were too much at odds with each other. And that he felt that the brother was trying to overthrow his ministry. And he wasn't going to allow that. And so they had this big fight going, and I didn't even know it. People, you cannot afford that kind of stuff in your life. You can't afford it. You've got to let people go. You've got to walk in love with people. If they've made any wrong, take it to prayer. You know, Paul said, turn this guy over to the devil so that his soul will be saved. Get him out of the body and into heaven before he'll even change his position with God. Give him over to the devil. Then in the 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the guy wanted back in the church. And Paul says, you better let him back in the church. And then Paul goes in and talks about prayer and how he poured himself out to the Corinthian church. He didn't say it, but he indicated that he possibly went to pray for this guy. I'm not sure, you know, I can't say he did, but why would he even bring the subject of intercession up? We're talking Wednesday nights what true intercession is. It's put on you by the Lord. If you've never had that put on to you, it means your heart's not right with God, with people. if you've never had a spirit of grievance come on you for somebody, and you've never been used that way, then you need to check up from the neck up where you are with people. Because I guarantee you, the more you make yourself available for the love of God over people's life, the more you'll be used in prayer for people. I'm a little disappointed myself because I need to be used more in that area. I'm not used all that much in that area. I'm preaching on myself here. And so I began to realize, wow, I didn't know he was in that kind of a position. I'm going to tell you something, people. Unforgiveness or to judge people, you better make sure God's with you in your judgment with them. Because we call it the prayer of agreement over in Matthew 18, where a brother was caught in a fault. But it said that that guy that was caught in the fault was Micros, just a little infant. And yet they wanted to judge him. Well, then Jesus said, if you're going to judge him, get two or three witnesses, the witnesses that had a witness against his error, and you come together, and you better make sure I'm in the midst of you on that judgment. Because the judgment will turn and fall on you. What do you mean it'll fall on me? Well, we're reading it right here in Matthew. Now look at this. He says, liable. In the Greek it says liable here. He'll be liable of what? Number one, judgment. Number two, counsel. And number three, Gehenna fire. Well, down here in verse 25, it says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him. On the way with him. Meaning you still got to walk with this person. Lest your adversary deliver you to the judge. Now, what got me is if a brother has aught against me. He has aught against me. He's my adversary. Well, the reason the word agree is put in there is the translators did understand one thing. The Greek word means to heal up your mind or your thinking. It means to do something with your thinking against him. And how do you do that? You find out what he is against you. There's where the word agreement came into, because that kind of gives you that understanding. So he's saying, before you leave your gift at that altar, you got a brother that has aught against you. In other words, there's been a conflict there. He says, what you need to do is you need to go and understand why he has aught against you. How many of you are following what I'm saying? This gets really interesting. He says, agree with your adversary. And actually, in the Greek, it's opponent. He's not really an adversary. He's your opponent. Quickly. Quickly. While you're on your way with him, you still have to walk with him. Lest your opponent deliver you to the judge. Well, how can he deliver me to a judge? How can he deliver me to the judge? How many of you ever judged somebody because of their error? Come on, people. I'm not the only one in this church that does that. Come on. Let's be real here. And you know something? Every brother or sister I have judged has been a torment to me. They will fester on the inside of me. And keep me in an area I'm not even aware that they're keeping me in. Until I find a place in me to literally understand where they're coming from and do everything within my power to make that thing work. God, I still got to walk with them. It's funny how when people make a mistake, you can judge them and walk away from them. God will take care of it. No, God will take care of you. Notice he says, and least your opponent. And all I ever wanted to do was just give a gift to God. Just wanted to do God a favor. But I got a problem. In prayer one day, and I've shared this before, I was in prayer. man, me and God were having a Holy Ghost time. I mean, it was probably a time that the Word began to just really open up and come alive to me. And then I go out in my prayer closet, and I'm getting with God, and it seems like, I'll never forget, it seemed like a steel plate was over my head, and my prayers had come back, and my words had come down and hit me. How many of you have ever had that kind of experience with God where it just seemed like you just couldn't break through? I mean, it just seemed like every time you get with God, bam, bam, this would happen. Bam, bam, and just come back right in your face. And one day I stopped and I said, God, what is wrong? Well, you know what, God? He never forgets your unrighteousness. You're saying what goes around comes around? With God, that's true. And one day he said, well, he says, I just want to let you know that I'm not going to receive any more of your prayers until you deal with something. And I said, why are you picking on me, God? I love everybody. I don't know anybody ain't wrong. He says, yeah, you did. And I said, well, what did I do? He says, there's a minister that you talked about. I says, what minister is that? And when he told me, I knew right away, I kind of remember. He says, I'll tell you what. He says, I want you clear in your heart from that. And I said, well, how do I get clear of that? He says, do you understand where he possibly was coming from with you? And I says, yeah, I really do, Lord. He says, then call him and bring yourselves together. Do you know what that was like saying to me? I got to call this minister and tell him. And I said, well, how much detail do you want me to go into? As much as you can remember. That's horrible. So I called him. I got right through. I got right through. I said, hey, this is Pastor Jeff. How you doing, brother? And he goes, hey, how are you doing? And I said, I called to tell you that I was in my prayer closet the other day, and God ain't going to do no more talking to me until I get my heart right with you. And the brother says, yeah, I know all that you said. He said, I know everything you said. You did? Yeah, I know. I says, well, so I don't have to go into detail and explain to you? And he says, no, not really, brother. I know what you said. And I says, well, I want you to forgive me. He says, I forgive you, brother. Then he sent me a Bible in there. He says, I know you love me. It's Casey Tree. I told him, I want you to forgive me, Casey, for every wrong thing it said. And I tell you what, the next day in prayer, all of heaven came down on me. Isn't that great? See, that's how much God loves us, because he doesn't want us to go about with adversaries in our life and us not bridging the gap to try to recover them for their error towards us. But if we hold it in our hearts, guess what that means? It means he'll deliver you to the judge, and the judge will put you in prison. In other words, what he's saying, then God will quit dealing with you on that, and you can go through the torture of it. They will torment you forever. And that's what he's saying here. Now, this gets real interesting. We're going to close in just a minute. But the word judgment is a word called separation or division. It's called krino. It means to separate or to divide. And really, this word is always used for fellowship, not relationship. So it literally means, the word judgment means to judge, to separate, or to divide, or to sever fellowship. When people make mistakes and you end up in your mind severing your fellowship with them while you're still responsible to walk with them, something wrong with you. You've got to go back to them, and you've got to understand where they're coming at towards you and get that healed up. Now, the word judgment is katakrino. It literally means to pass sentence. Then the next one is the word counsel. And this is what I thought was very interesting when I read this in Zahiatis. I didn't want to bring it and read the whole Zahiatis text. But he said, basically, in a nutshell, the word counsel here is referring to supreme counsel, where a vice president sat at the right hand of the high priest to carry out and deal with important matters before given to the high priest. And so what he was saying was this was a law of court, to where this person would go before a council, a supreme council, where the vice president to the high priest would then judge it. And he would discern whether it warranted going to the high priest or warranted being solved at his office. Well, guess who's seated at the right hand of the Father? His name is Jesus. And if Jesus is seating at the high priest, the council of his Father, at the right hand of his Father, if he can't be settled there, then it goes to hellfire. If it falls on the supreme judge, you're in trouble. How important is forgiveness? It is so important there really is no cause for unforgiveness in anyone's life. If you want to blame anything on anybody for their faults, I'll tell you what. Find out what they are and begin to pray and intercede for them so that they will remove that darkness from them and have a fresh start again. Just like it says when you see a brother overtaken in the fault. Boy, I'm seeing it so clear now that when I see brothers and sisters in the Lord start sliding backwards, the first thing I say, oops, there's darkness working to where they can't heal this thing. There's dark, and that's the area I have to focus in on, is how is the darkness entering them? And that's where I got to focus my attention. And that's what he's saying here. You better agree with your adversary or your opponent. You know where they're coming from so that they won't be a continual torment to you. And you can do something to help abort that. You can bring them back to a place of true repentance and work again. Love is a key issue for everyone's mistakes. Now, the word forgiveness literally means to release, pardon, cancellation, letting pass, or passing over. It's derived from two words, which literally means to put into motion an action that brings healing. Now, if you will, in Matthew chapter 5 here, this is off the Sermon on the Mount, go to the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt. No, as we forgave, as you forgave us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgave our debtors. Past tense. As you forgave, not forgive, as you forgave. He says, and you do not lead us into temptation, but you deliver us from the evil one. If there is a darkness in people and the adversary is working through that darkness, don't let that darkness become your adversary, your opponent. Be sharper than that. Be alive in that. Recognize where Satan is working through them and come to an agreement to where you can remove that darkness. Because love never fails. Love never fails. I'll tell you, people that listen to the vain imaginations of their mind without an actual event of communication, you're in the most dangerous position you could be in to listen to your own thinking. Go on and on with the ticker tape of how wrong people are. You got to deal with that kind of thinking. I know I had to. Now, I'm going to close with something. We're going to go on unforgiveness, and I'm going to literally show you basically six things that are important to understanding forgiveness. One is how you deal with others has a strong bearing on how you're dealt with. Number two, Jesus is our example of forgiveness. Number three, forgiveness is a sign of strength, not weakness. Number four, forgiveness is not the condoning, it's all right, of the wrongness that was done. It is not the condoning that it's all right of the wrongness that was done. See, a lot of people seem to think you'll forgive somebody because you accept the wrongdoing that is in them. That you don't do, and we'll explain that out. And then, of course, point number five is forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. And number six, forgiveness has severe consequences if it is not dealt with in your life. So we're going to learn some good stuff. Forgiveness. About forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a horrible thing in our life. We are not free people when we hold and harbor unforgiveness with anyone. One person wrote about forgiveness. The language spoken in heaven by the angels and the redeemed is the language of forgiveness. It will be the only language spoken there. No other language will be understood. It will be spoken by the cherubims and seraphims and the whole angelic host as they praise God. The author of forgiveness and of eternal salvation. It will be spoken by all of the redeemed. It will be spoken by all the redeemed as they greet one another on the banks of the river of life and gather around the throne of the Lamb and sing their song unto Him who loved them and washed them from their sins. But no one can learn that language after he gets to heaven. It must be learned here upon the earth in this world and in this life. Forgiveness. Hallelujah. 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 But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I just recently had a situation where a young man called me and he was very upset about a story I had given at his grandpa's funeral, I think it was. Very, very violent. And he threatened to come to the church and take me out of a service and pronounce all kinds of things. And so finally he had hung up after he talked to several. June had him first, then Tammy took him. Tammy did a lot to really put him at ease. But I was praying. And I called Mike Golder, and I kind of alerted him to watch over me. And Casey comes storming into the church. And I had received a word from the Lord about Mark 4. The way the Lord had given me that new insight about how the enemy will come through that darkness. I had Satan. I can hear his voice now. He approached me and says, "You stop teaching that to those people. Besides, they don't understand what you're saying. It's going way over their heads." And so I rebuked it. Well, then all of a sudden this come up. And so when I was praying, I said, "Lord, how can I really resolve this situation?" He says, "I got it taken care of." So then he called, and John Cook answered the phone, and I knew it was him. And so John finally said, one moment he came in, he said, "Pastor, he wants to talk to you." And I said, "It's him." And John said, "Yeah." And I went, "Oh, no." And finally a peace just come over me. The Lord said, "Open your mouth and I'll fill it." And so then John patched him in. Well, he was really delighted he could talk to me. Finally got through. And so I talked to him, and he explained to me where he's at and all everything. And I said, "You know what? I said, I just want to apologize that I had shared that. You're right. I think that sometimes we need to be a little more sensitive to what we share with people Man, he accepted that. I mean, he was just as, oh, I want to get a hold of June and apologize. And I said, okay. And so then he hung up. He was at peace. But people, that's the key, is the love of God for people. No matter where they're at, it doesn't matter. It matters how we can help them with our testimony towards them at the hour of their need. And people that are not happy, that are at war with you, I got news for you. They need your love, not your judgment. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about because I've had several other stories I don't have time to go into. But you know what? This is the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord said, pray after this manner. Well, he wasn't saying pray the Lord's Prayer, but he was praying the principle that's found in the Lord's Prayer. First of all, you have to hallow his name. Everything that God is has to have the preeminence and first place in your life. You got to do everything according to the pleasing of him more than anything else. Then he says, you will help us and give us our daily needs, our daily living. As we forgave those who have trespassed against us. Forgave, past tense. But when he comes down to chapter 7, he says, judge not that you be not judged. This is katakrino. He's saying, if you're going to judge somebody, to divide, to separate, to discontinue fellowship with them, you are wrong. That's when you got to make a decision to go after them. It's the only way you can help them. You cannot judge people. You know what? When God judges our heart, did you know what that word is? It's not krino. When God judges your heart, it's kataginosko. It means he gets into your heart and he speaks against what you're fellowshipping in the wrong area with. Right. Knowledge. It's wrong. Get rid of that. That's what he removes from you. He don't come back in your fellowship to discontinue. He doesn't want to do that. But if you put him in that position, watch out. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? For you to see a speck in your brother's eye is because you have that plank in you. I don't look at somebody's fault anymore, people. I look at the enemy that's taking advantage of an area in their life where he can come through and penetrate them. And I'm not going to be made a monkey on his agenda, but I'm going to do everything I can to get into my brother or my sister's life to remove that darkness in them. And love is the key. Glory to God. And 1 John is the answer. I hope you guys got something here today. We're going to answer a lot of these things. These 6 points are very valuable. Please learn them. Because the Lord told me that many of my people are permitted to come home because they cannot walk with their brothers or sisters. They don't know how. You want success in your life? Look to let him have the preeminence. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 But it's true, isn't it? You can't fuel people. You can't drive them from you. If you're driving people from you, there's something wrong with you. But if you draw them closer, do you know Jesus said that if you do righteousness, you heap coals of fire on them. The burning will come back on them. Many of us, what we do is we're so righteous we can judge and just separate that stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to be held accountable eventually when your fellowship with God gets right. Because he'll come back and visit you. He did me. He'll do it to you. He still comes back and visits me. I can't get away with nothing. I believe a lot of Christians don't have a confirmed prayer life because they want to get away with a lot of things. I said, Lord, why are you always picking on me? He says, who else? You need to confirm your love to each other. You need to confirm your love to your enemies. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Because I feel in my spirit this message God put in my heart. Because some of you are fixing for a great downfall. You better get your slate clean. I don't know which one of it is, but if you got something in your heart against any, if anybody has done any wrong to you, you need to get it, let them go. Let it go. I feel this urgency in my spirit. Walk in love with people. Walk in love with people. So they make a mistake. Big deal. You are a mistake when God still provided salvation for you. And He provided salvation without a price. Some people, because if you were the only one to die on the to receive Him, for Him dying on the cross, it was worth it. Baloney. That's buying salvation. He would have done it if nobody had received Him. Because God doesn't make payment for forgiveness. Neither should we. A lot of us are figuring we're forgiving people, but really in our thinking it's recompense. They still owe us something in return for us in order to have fellowship back with Him. People, that's a lie sold out of the pit of hell. Satan is the author of that. Just remember, he is the accuser of the brethren. And his knowledge will get in there. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for Your word. And as we now close this service, if there be anybody here, Father. If anybody be here. If anybody here has never given their heart and life to Jesus, now's the time. Very critical. If there be anybody here that knows that they have to deal with unforgiveness in their heart towards somebody, and they're calling it self-justification, but it's really a form of unbelief and unforgiveness. Father, may they come forward and get prayer for that. And Father, if there's anybody here that's never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or they need healing. Father, maybe the reason they're not getting healed is because they're harboring unforgiveness. Whatever it is, Father, we want to pray for them. So with every head bowed in reverence for them, if you're here and you fit this altar call right now, I want you to feel free to get up and get out of your seat and come down. Now, if you need prayer for forgiveness for somebody, you're not required to come down until after I dismiss. But the other parts, please feel free to come down. Healing, salvation, even the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you require that, please come down. Now, boy, the power of God just hit me. Whew. Huh. Did you guys feel that? Oh, John says no. Maxine, you felt it? Get over here where he's at. You get over there where she's at. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 If you fit that. Salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine healing. Feel free to step forward now. Anybody? Those of you that want me to pray for forgiveness, come up afterwards when we dismiss. With that said, you're dismissed. I'm going to wait right here for anyone that wants me to agree with them.